You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got the Bad Boys here with me. Fellas, it's good to see you. It is Royal Rumble 2021. The show just ended. I guess I thought that the show was going to end at 7. I don't know why I thought that, but it actually ended about 10 minutes.
All their other shows are ending at 7, but the bigger shows are going the full 4-hour format.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, we're just coming fresh off of the pay-per-view. And guys, I know you have a lot to talk about. Look, let's just go right to it. The highlight of the night when it comes to the Rumble, and of course, this is just my opinion, was the Women's Royal Rumble. Very exciting. They put on, hey, don't be looking like that, Matt Michaels. But hey,
would you have said the same thing if Bianca lost?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, you thought that it was that horrible?
I just think that there's overhype on fucking Bianca.
No.
Okay, but outside of Bianca, we'll talk about her in a minute because it's exciting she won. You're telling me that the entire Women's Royal Rumble was not as was exciting and even more exciting than the men's?
I would say more exciting than the men's.
Well, I would think so. Men's were good. Don't get it twisted. But I found more excitement coming from what I saw from the women's match. Guys, what do you feel, Simon Street and Sin City?
Look. I don't know what the hell you smoking, eating, swallowing, whatever the hell it is. But the Women's Royal Rumble was lit, and they picked the most perfect EST to represent. I will tell you, there were so many stops that they pulled out that was just sheerly magical. By far, memory. I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'll shut the hell up, okay? Mm-hmm. The Women's Evolution happened. This right here was what I will call the coronation. Because all hail women's wrestling, all hail women's wrestling in the WWE. They are equal participants and equal eyes on the product of WWE. So, yes, it was fucking LIT fucking tens all across.
Really? How come it wasn't last then?
I don't give a shit when the order is sometimes. Sometimes
I'm just asking you, how come it wasn't last?
Well, listen, first off, I don't think that Vince McMahon or whoever coordinates the show realizes that the women's match were just going to outshine the men. You know, you never know that until you watching it live, how it's going to come out.
No,
it could have been the main event. It could have.
No, nope.
It could have. Absolutely.
Nope. It could not have because Ronda Rousey or Becky Lynch did not participate.
That's hogwash and bullshit.
Really? So you're telling me that You end with Bianca Belair winning that match at the end of your show, and you have Edge win your men's match, and you're not having that end your show? Come on, dude.
Look, I'm telling you right now, I would have been okay if the men's went first and Edge was the person that won, obviously, and then Bianca was the one that won for the women's last.
She's not a name.
She is a name now. Know her name. EST. She's the fastest, the strongest, the quickest. She all ifs in every fucking thing. Period with a T. T.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know how to follow that up. I thought that both Royal Rumbles were good. I'm not gonna say that the women's overshadowed the men's. I personally preferred the men's. But yeah, I agree that Bianca was made tonight, and it was something great to watch. Honestly, But yeah, as far as names and things like that, I can see why the Rumbles were placed the way that they were on the card. Just because, again, you close with a familiar face, somebody that people know that's more established.
The question, too, is this. So if she goes against Sasha Banks, who's the heel in that match?
Well, Sasha's already kind of leaning towards heel status anyways. I mean, I know you're probably going to disagree, but I'm saying if I had to pick between where she's at, I feel she's on the fence and leaning towards the heel side.
Okay, so then do you finally get the fucking rid of Carmella and give the sommelier to Sasha and have her become an actual fucking heel?
I mean, it's not in the realm of possibilities. I don't know why Sasha needs a sommelier, you know, for him. I don't know
why. Because he would actually work with her very well because she can work and talk as opposed to Carmella, who not only did we have to sit through her fucking match once, but then have her come out in the fucking Rumble again. Yay.
Yeah, I wasn't too excited about her taking a spot. I was like, damn, what are we doing with that spot?
Now, Rumble would not have been 4 hours long if that match didn't happen.
I like Jillian being in the Royal Rumble. And immediately thought of Billy Kay. I said, boy, if they started doing some karaoke singing, that shit would have been fucking amazing.
That was awesome. Yeah, I had no problem with Jillian being in the Rumble. I mean, it aided and furthered a storyline that they kind of established in the Rumble itself. And quite frankly, it helped to give Billy Kay a rub. So that's awesome.
Billy Kay was getting rubs the whole damn Rumble. Because, I mean, when she was going out, almost kind of doing what Sami Zayn's been doing on Friday nights.
Right.
Taking that sideline and almost for a job interview. But, man, it sucked because I was like, man, Peyton Royce could come out. Peyton Royce could come out. And then that's when she went back in the ring with Jill. I was like, damn, that would have been fucking cool. But, you know, I get it.
But they did.
Yeah, once she was in the ring, I'm talking about the way that I envisioned it as it was going on. I'm sorry, I'm not
perfect. Well, I'm sure the way you envisioned your fucking marriages while they were going on were a hell of a lot different, too.
But unlike you,
shit.
You will still stay stagnant like a plateau in the desert, my brother.
Oh, man. Well, look, I'm over here with trying to work magic. You know, my audio is like wigging, but we still gonna get our podcast up at the regular time. So if you just see me with all these kind of strange faces over here, I'm looking like, what the heck is going on? Nevertheless, though,
you're getting a blowjob under the table.
Hey. Well, then my expressions was being more like,
no, your expressions were not.
Dude, were you the guy at the Undertaker when the Undertaker had the streak broken? Were you that guy?
No, I wasn't that guy.
Oh, you were. Even your mind would have been blown.
Yeah. Anyways, shout out though to Bianca. I will say this. I didn't expect her, and to be honest with you, I wasn't wanting her to win this Rumble. I actually was wanting to next year because I actually wanted her to have an audience.
You wanted to go see it.
Yeah, yes. I ain't gonna lie. I want to be there.
There is going
to
be an audience this year. So that's why I knew you were fucking bowling shitting right there.
Yeah, but I mean, I think crowds does, you know, you want to have that pop. Hey, Booker T even said it during the pre-show. He was like, they said, what is a memorable moment of Mania? He said, hey, when I came back out, I think it was 2011 or something, and that pop. And JBL, of course, ribbed him because he chose his own.
Yeah, you know, but it was way better than the pop he got tonight.
He didn't dance like he did in the video, boy. He was like, yeah, the club.
Why was he even out there?
Because he was in the video. He was in the original
video. Yeah, no, I understand that. But if all you're going to do is make him change into a costume, fold his arms and stand there until the very end when this guy just dances around him and does a tra-la-la moment in the song and then finally gets to the end of that long ass boring motherfucking song for Booker T just to go, "Can you dig it, sucker?" What?
Hey, you know what? Real talk, if I was ever to ever be on stage singing, rapping, tra-la-la, I would want Booker T at the end to say, "Now, can you do that?" Fact, I just wish when I had to make decisions in my life, I could have Booker T at the end saying, "Now, can you dig that, sucker?" Like that, who wouldn't want that?
I don't know. Would it help to maybe make it a little more entertaining when he jumped from the top rope of the fucking Rumble?
He almost did.
God damn. You know what? Between that moment, drawing comparison to Snoop Dogg and...
Well, he did better than Snoop.
Yeah, exactly. And then KO getting hit by the fucking golf cart backstage. Yeah, Jesus. You can tell they've been watching AEW.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely have.
Oh, man. Right. Yeah. Let's jump over to that match of Roman Reigns and KO. I mean, it was a great ending, despite the fact that, Paul Heyman just couldn't find where that keyhole was. It was too far low, and, you know, he doesn't get that low down, that low, so it had to be pretty tough for him to, you know, to the point where the ref just said, "Fuck it, I'll stop counting at six."
Yeah.
But and then Cole fixed it up pretty well because he was like, hey, he is kind of standing. I mean, he's bent down, but you can see his legs are up. So, you know, that's why the referee stopped. I'm like, that was a good, catch there, because obviously we heard the count stop. But overall, man, I mean, they put their all in that match. I mean, I was pretty shocked at the spots there. And when I saw KO, go jump on that, what is that? That lift. The first thing that came to my mind was the AEW spot with Matt Hardy. And I was like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Oh, that's another spot.
That's, yeah,
spot number three on the card tonight.
I thought Sammy got hit by the golf cart at first. I was like, man, did I switch to AEW on accident? What happened? You know? Still quick.
Yeah, it's strange how that works, huh?
Maybe they just wanted to show you how it's supposed to be done. Was that their way of just doing that? I mean, Steve, I don't know.
That is the hey, break. Man. Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, you know? So
if they were really fucking trying to dig it in, they would have had Jeff done a spot like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's Matt's brother. But so was it me or the whole backstage segment that was pre-taped, right?
I don't know. I mean, it looked like, I mean, they did a good job editing to make it seem like it was,
because I didn't go back and look at when they first went back there. Mm-hmm. But as they were coming back to the ring, right as they go through the curtain, it goes to the replay of the dive.
Yeah.
And then when they cut back, it's just the empty stage. And then they come out. But looked like Kevin's... Mm-hmm. It looked like Kevin wasn't as kind of cut up on his back, I think. It just it seemed like it could have been one of those things that they could edit in and have done that like yesterday, just pre-taped it so that he didn't take two huge fucking bumps today, because that was a lot.
No shit.
Actually, three going through the fucking
LED screen.
LED screen too. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Man.
You can imagine.
That's a good point. I thought they just stopped it because it looked like he was, what do they call that area? They call it Gorilla, right? Yeah. I thought as he was going through Gorilla, they didn't want to go through there because, of course, Vince and everybody's back there watching, calling it. So they caught it. They stopped it when they went there. And then, of course, they went back. So I was just thinking that's why they stopped it instead of, but you may be making a good point there.
Yeah, because in the past they've passed the Gorilla spot before.
They don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
interesting.
And Michaels, I did not even think that one time during that entire thing. But now that you're saying it, I'm seeing these little things that Yeah, I mean, they're all right there. So, hidden in plain sight.
Honestly, guys, the reason I questioned it and kind of maybe figured that out as they're coming back, okay, so Kevin does the flip off the forklift. They get back up. They start making their way back. They're backstage, of course. Well, what is sitting on the table? The Money in the Bank case, which at this point, Miz should already have in his possession. Because why would you have the Money in the Bank case, a prop sitting on the table like that? And then there were, you know, the costume rack was next to it too. So that's the reason I all of a sudden went, wait a minute, did they shoot this yesterday? And also, by the way, the backstage area was a hell of a lot brighter, which most likely, because they're on the East Coast time, that area probably should have been a lot darker because of the fact that that dome is, I believe, a retractable dome, but it's at least one of those domes where if it's bright outside, there's going to be more light naturally in the building. So that's my guess. I don't know if it was true, but have you guys some fun. Go back, take a watch of it again, and enjoy trying to figure out.
Or we can always go to our brother Meltzer, and he'll let us know exactly what happened.
Yeah, my brother.
I thought you were going to say Sportskeeda.
Right? You know what else I realized, too, with that match? And maybe it's just me because, like, y'all pay attention to, like, backstage and editing and shit, and that's cute. But, you know, I like looking at the symbolism of, you know, the art of what they're putting together. And then maybe I was the only person that saw this. When they went into that arena with empty seats, like, the match was last man standing, right? So for me, symbolically, I was like, man, you know, WWE's kind of flexing, you know, I looked like they were flexing, like we're the last one standing. Us as WWE, we beat COVID. You know, COVID made it to where we couldn't have any of our audience there, but we still standing. And this might, and again, it might have just been me that looked at it like that. But I saw like some symbolism in that. I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool because this match is pretty on fire. Like both of the competitors, and they used the match perfectly. You know what I mean? Last man standing. So they did all of these spots. Obviously, they couldn't have done it like that in real time to where it's like, Kevin Owens, how the fuck are you going to get up now? You know what I mean? I just thought it was really cool. But hey.
Yeah, you overanalyzed that just by the fact like, that you don't, fucking you don't do that when Via Yim just positive tested. We didn't see Keith Lee in the Rumble, which most likely is because me and Yim positively tested.
Right.
So I think you're overreading into the still standing COVID.
Well, I'm sorry if what I'm into is not as exciting as what I guess the rest of the world wants to know. And you know, Kevin Owens had an extra couple of scratches on his back. And I think the video cut there and, you know.
But at least I could see that.
Oh, my gosh.
Ugh. And I'm probably not the only one who saw something like that. Whereas you might be the only one who thought of something like that.
Well, if we follow all the constructs of what you think the business is going to be, then shit, I'm sorry if, you know, I just don't conform to that. I found it to be entertaining, but what the fuck do I know?
No one said anything about entertainment.
I just think it's funny that I can't share my deep introspection of how I saw that match, but he's like, oh, he wasn't talking about the cameras. But anyways, I digress. Let's continue.
I'm talking about that because of the fact that one of their wrestlers just came out as COVID positive. You're not going to be making a statement that you stood up from COVID and made it when you have a wrestler who literally just came out and said, yeah, I'm positive.
Okay. All right. You're once again, Matt Michaels, you're correct.
I know. Thank you. I am so glad.
Oh, Lord. Man, do I get 3 college credits for that dissertation?
Well, no, you sound like a college student who all of a sudden is letting their mind just wander and go, you know, I think I haven't written this paper yet. So, yeah, it's standing up to COVID. Yeah, they were the last man standing. Yeah, even though a totally another company like AEW is still standing. Oh, and Impact Wrestling is still standing. Oh, and also ROH still standing. Oh, and New Japan kind of standing too.
You just realize that you take the fun out of anything different.
Well, look, listen to this. Who are you all very shocked to see? I'm going to go back to the women's Rumble. They had a little bit more surprises than the men. Naomi? Yeah. Shotzi?
Yeah.
Tony Storm?
Mm-hmm.
Victoria? Big shock there? Santana Garrett?
Yeah. That's probably the biggest shock.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. Out of all of them, why?
Rhea?
Yeah.
Tori Wilson?
The 8K camera loved Tori Wilson. Apparently, the guy behind it really shot in for extra long on her.
Yeah. That was almost awkward.
Yeah. Are you reliving your puberty? All depend on the age of the cameraman.
Mickie James.
Yeah.
Dakota Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Fox. Who's first time 24-hour 24/7 champion something?
I think that what did they say? 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah.
No. They made a point of saying that it was 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Five seconds. Another thing in their company that is 2:05.
Oh my gosh! I get teased for thinking too deeply on some shit, but that's-
hey.
At least we could see that, right, Michaels? We could at least see that.
Yeah, well, and also I know this is Steve Stone off his ass. So, you know, there you go.
You almost have to be to get through these damn pay-per-views anymore, okay?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, true.
Let me ask you.
This one was a good one, though.
It was.
I was thoroughly sports entertained, so absolutely. I can't complain.
Yep.
So, 24/7 title now open to women as well. I mean, can anybody?
It always should have been.
I always wondered that too.
It always should have been.
Yeah, it didn't. Wasn't it Kelly Kelly? She already won.
Yeah, Kelly held the title, but they've got an entire like different path that title can take.
Yeah,
and I actually have it go through the women's division.
You know, the best thing all night was actually on the pre-show. And that was the truth came up and he was looking for Bugs Bunny, who was going to be there that night. No truth. It's Bad Bunny. Yeah, I go back with that Bugs Bunny. Truth. Wait, why are you dressed like that? Are you dressed like Elmer Fudd? Shh, I'm hunting rabbits. It's the best shit. Go back to the pre-show. It's right before the match, the tag team championship match. It is fucking hysterical, man.
Yeah. I mean, Truth is, he's just full of just nonstop jokes. I mean, it just keeps going, you know? I mean, at least he's keeping it funny and entertaining. So.
Would he be guaranteed Hall of Fame at this point? I'm just being honest.
Oh, yes, he would. He would.
He will be.
But I got a feeling that he would be in the Hall of Fame for about 10 minutes, and then they'll take him out, and then he'll come back, and they'll put him back in. He'll do that for about 107 to 150 times.
Right.
Very smart, though. Very smart stuff with that.
The last name I forgot to name also was Amber Moon.
Yeah.
So, quite a few in the women's Rumble were some shocks. Yeah,
the biggest one is like Santana Garrett. Like,
mm-hmm.
That was a head scratcher out of all
the
women.
Yeah, that was the biggest reach.
You know, and I mean, even Jillian Hall made more sense because of the Billy Kay thing that they could do.
Right.
But yeah, it, like she just was in there. She fought. She eventually got eliminated. And I was just like, okay. You got to give it to the way that they built that match. I think that's one of the reasons that it was so entertaining in the sense that what they did with the women's eliminations were very psychologically in tune to with a lot of the storylines.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With the guys, there's always a struggle with that. Now, one of the things they did this year that, thank God they did, because it's pissed me off for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years almost, is that they let the fucking ring fill up.
Right.
It did take a long time to start eliminating people. It was getting full
quick. Yeah. Right. Because usually what you did is you either had, like last year, Lesnar just tossing people within minutes of each other, or you would have it build up, get like eight people in there, Kane comes out and eliminates all eight people. And it's just like, oh, okay. Here you, at least in both, you got full ring battle royal-esque booking. And also, it's interesting to note, this is the first Royal Rumble that Pat Patterson was not alive to see. So I have a feeling that, you know, there was a little bit of that, you know, inspirational type, hey, let's go out there, let's do this for Pat.
Yeah,
it definitely did do that, because I will tell you right now, I haven't seen a great pay-per-view like that in probably about 4 years. I'm just being honest, to where I want to watch that shit again. And it was a big step in the right direction for, I think, legitimizing women's wrestling, because the product of the women's Royal Rumble, not take away from any other times it's been happening before, but this time it just seems something about it was just, we expect it to be this good. I think a lot of us can agree to that.
Yeah, I would kind of feel that the whole turning point might have been, I don't know, main eventing WrestleMania 2 years ago. But, you know, I know you're slow. It takes time to pick up, so I get it. It's cool.
Dude, you know what I'm going to call you? I'm going to call you Deep Thought, like Circumciser, because you deep thoughts and circumcise the shit out of you. Don't even think of, man. Like, you took
and that's okay. Then I'll call you Deep Throating Circumstances.
Oh, gosh, man. I tell you what, I know what your sociology or like psychology grades were. Like, they're probably shit. You think outside of a tin can.
Yeah, what? which actually made me more progressive of a thinker than, you know, the normal student. And I'll tell you, my C+ was a solid C+.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you're proud. Glad you're proud.
If you're watching us live, you always can feel free to leave a comment, and we will try to get it on as we see fit. For example, Stormy Mormon says, Rhea to SmackDown and will be the newest member of the Riot Squad. What do you guys say about that?
I love how the Mormon just stereotypes her for her look instead of following the story where she eliminated Alexa Bliss. And holy fuck, is she in for trouble coming up? I don't think we're going to see her initially at Raw. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see Alexa show up in NXT for the shutdown, the first blackout. And then it will build to Rhea coming over to Raw. And I think that's where your Mania money is.
Can I ask you a question? How have you thought about this matchup when you size them and see how Alexa even has a chance against Rhea?
Yeah, taped match.
Either that or let's just be real, Impact. It's predetermined.
how do you write it, man?
Like, come on, dude.
It just seems like it would be very difficult to sell whatever they, unless Rhea just beats her down. I just don't see how, even with Alexa's storyline, how does she come out on top against
Rhea? So would you say Asuka is one of the toughest women around?
Asuka for sure.
Right. So what has Asuka done when she's been confronted by the three different faces of Bliss? I still smell the shit in her underwear from the terror that she saw in Alexa. And Asuka has been great at fucking building Alexa's character by selling that shit. She's a psychopath. That's how you play it, right? Rhea's okay. afraid of, you know, Rhea's a person who's afraid of nothing. What happens when there's something now that is pure evil that can fuck with her? Now we're writing story, man. Now we're fuck, you know, I can't say anymore or else none of us are getting paid for this. Bruce is going to be using it all.
Of course.
So
coming soon.
Well, to answer Stormy Mormon's question, I will say that although Rhea Ripley would be interesting to join the Riot Squad, I do feel that the Riot Squad does need a third member for it to work as a faction. I think just the two of them is not going to get it done. I nominate Shotzi Blackheart whenever she's going to go up to the main roster. I think the fit would be good. I know what you're going to say. Just butcher it. Oh, my gosh. Matt Michaels, the paragon of all that is wrestling, booking, and story writing, and visual effects, and editing, and toilet scrubbing, and everything. How dare.
But it comes to a simple thing that Mormon did, too. You're basing it on her look.
I'm not basing on her look so much as I'm basing on
okay, her. Okay, wait up.
It's perfectly with the Riot Squad. Even if she came dressed like a damn Barbie doll, it goes with the Riot Squad, that fierceness. But I'm sorry, that's too deep for your shallow water thinking.
Sorry. Well, first off, it's not deep enough thought on your behalf. They already have a leader. Her name's Ruby Riott. If you put Shotzi in that situation, she becomes the overshadowing force, i.e. the Rock in the Nation of Domination.
Oh, my gosh. Fine. But let's just change the show, Impact, to, you know what? Michaels knows it all.
Because we can change to Simon Street is always wrong.
always wrong. My gosh.
So Stormin did say, hey, Rhea would get lost in the shuffle being a part of Raw with Charlotte, Asuka, Alexa, Shayna, and eventually Becky and possibly Ronda. She would be a bigger star on SmackDown for now.
Ronda and Becky come back. They're not on Raw.
Oh.
They're on SmackDown.
Yeah. All their top guns on SmackDown. They want all that. They're going to stack the deck full.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why she goes to Raw just to build her. I mean, that's the way to do it. If you look at... Also, the other thing, too, is if you look at, you know, not only that setup, but Damian Priest looks to be set up to go to SmackDown through the storytelling on the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Is that a good look for him?
Oh, yeah. It's a good look for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's an awesome competitor, you know.
Put him against Corbin. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, work him, you know, have the fans get, you know, behind him for beating the shit out of Corbin, which would be nice. You could, yeah, too bad that we know it's Ray's kid, or you could have had an angle where Mysterio Dominic would be Priest's kid, because he looks like a skinny fucking, he looks more like Damian Priest than like Rey Mysterio. Let's face it.
You know what's funny? Y'all don't question none of that shit, but boy, Simon Street says some shit.
I'm just sitting here baffled by the bullshit. Literally, like I'm dazed because of what the fuck did I just hear?
We got time to fill, man.
Let's move the hell on. My lord.
For the Guys Royal Rumble, some surprises. Carlito. Okay.
Good to see that he trained at the same place that Jinder did.
He came back ripped, yeah.
Well, the best, wasn't it, was it Corey who said, what's in those apples? I fucking lost my shit on that. And I'm like, wow. nice subtlety there, brother.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, dude is yoked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could not believe that. So he looks great.
Yeah. Damian Priest. The Hurricane.
That was where he tried to choke slam both Bobby Lashley and Big E, and they looked at each other like, come on, man. Get the hell out of here with this.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Steve, does that technically count as using an AEW personality? Wasn't Hurricane just on their show?
I think he was recently. Well, months ago, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
somewhat. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
So it's another.
Yeah, so Hurricane was just on AEW.
Another rip off of AEW.
Hey, let the record show. I'm not the one bringing these things to light.
That's true.
The one saying that WWE is taking things from AEW. I just want the record to show that.
The record shows that.
Showed it.
Christian
is saying it.
Christian, and of course, Seth is back.
Yes,
and Braun Strowman.
Well, we knew about Braun.
Yeah,
he's on Friday.
He was on SmackDown there, brother.
Yeah, on Friday he ran through it. You already knew he was going to be in the Rumble. He wasn't going to serve lemonade and corn dogs and shit back there in the stadium.
Well, DJ didn't know because he didn't watch SmackDown.
And I watched SmackDown.
I'm sorry. Didn't stay up past.
No, I watched it all. You're funny. But Braun is, you can still say he's returned, even though he made his return on Friday. And Edge, of course, he became the overall winner. So are you guys happy about Edge winning? That's the first question. And the second question would be, who does he fight against, Drew or Roman? Are you happy about his win, and who does he fight?
I'm happy. Drew.
Okay.
All right. Well, he's going to fight Drew. He's not going to fight Roman. But it was certainly a surprise. I would not have put Edge on a list.
I agree with that.
Of actually. Possible winners. It didn't occur to me that he would be the one to win the Rumble.
Right.
So good call on a winner that wasn't predictable, you know?
Right.
And weirdly enough, that his prediction, although it wasn't like, you know, obvious, he was on a number of like different, you know, projections, as I think it was even on what we talked about last week on that list. But the interesting thing is I find it interesting that you both say he goes against Drew. Do you think Edge is going to be a heel?
No, I was more so saying that he's going to be going for that title. So
and who's to say that Drew is going to have it by the end of Monday Night Raw?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. That's where my decision came from. I know the Miz is about to cash that bad boy in, most likely Monday. I have a very strong feeling about that.
So, yeah, I think that we're going to see like something like a Miz versus Edge match at WrestleMania.
I hope not. I hope not, but nothing would surprise me at this point.
That would be my bathroom break.
I can't see them doing anything else but Roman versus Edge. It solidifies Roman in terms of beating one of their top baby faces in the company, and maybe even giving Edge the rub and giving him the belt. And then you don't have people, you know, hammering them for, oh, Brock Lesnar is only a fucking 2-day a week champion, you know, type of thing. So I don't know. That's where I would see them going is going. Edge has always been associated kind of with SmackDown primarily too. So I don't know, bigger name, bigger network possibly, but I don't know what he brings to Drew since we just saw Drew beat Goldberg, which gave him the solidification of beating someone who's a legend.
Well, let me ask you this question with your whole theory about, faces and heels for this match. We just saw Drew McIntyre and Goldberg. Who was the heel?
In that case, it literally would be Goldberg.
So Goldberg was the heel? Man, that's the softest heel I've ever seen in my life.
It was the softest setup we've ever seen in our lives.
True.
I mean, it really was a limp dick match.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the ending showed you that all they really wanted this to happen was sincerely to give Drew a win in this time frame, a short term, so they don't have to worry about the build to WrestleMania, and give him a legitimate legend to defeat to try to show that this man is a legitimate champion. That's it.
Michaels, you are on fucking fire tonight.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I mean, some of it can be total bullshit, but in the end, the one thing I take away from what we saw tonight is that you can actually put some fucking strings together. This is one of the times that we can say that we actually can start seeing maybe what they're doing as compared to the fuck are they doing now? You know, changing up like every other fucking week or couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it seems consistent. Maybe we see, you know, again, maybe we see since Strowman came back, maybe Braun, you know, is a heel against Drew. But I got a feeling they're going to pull someone. They got to pull someone like an AJ maybe or someone who can really work.
I think they're going to pull Daniel Bryan, who faces Roman next. And the only reason why I'm saying
is because,
yeah, the only reason I'm saying
is no, we're talking Drew, bro.
Oh, I thought we were switching Roman. I thought we killed that with Drew, it being born and stuff. Well, okay, well, let me just say real quick. I would say on SmackDown, I just came to him, I'm sorry. With Roman, I really wanted to see Daniel Bryan because of what happened with Talking Smack on Friday.
Yeah, but what about the already horrifying beatdown that we've seen of him? You know, here's the thing. Do you want them to, would someone like Edge, who literally just came back and blew out his fucking arm and then was on the shelf, now you have him committed to 3 years, essentially. Do you try to build him against Roman, or do you go with Daniel Bryan, who essentially is winding down his career? And y'all, you know, the question was, well, how does Rhea go against Bliss because of their size difference?
I don't have an issue with size. That's Impact's hang up, not mine.
I'm saying, but it's a fair justification because of the fact that Daniel Bryan, you know, compared to Roman Reigns, should essentially get his head fucking ripped off, especially based on the past, you know, him getting a beatdown from Jay. Listen, if you can get beaten down by the guy at lower end of the table,
you make a good
I'm just saying, you know.
And I got you. Yeah. I give you on that point alone, because if you do get beat by the lower end, they would almost have to set up to where he has to beat the shit out of Jay with some newfound power of, I don't know, like his shirt said, the finger with the fucking pieces of trees and shit. I don't know. They'd have to do something for him to just beat the shit out of Jay. Then try to sell it with a stretch for Roman. I see your point.
Yeah, I don't know where he fits in WrestleMania this year in terms of the best avenue you go with Daniel, I would say, would be some kind of more so a wrestling match. You know, yeah. Give him a good matchup that is like a good fucking wrestling match.
Well, he was having a good match against against AJ, which of course they had to stop because that was a top of the line match, so they didn't get the finish. But that would be something to see a good build up on.
Yeah, quite possibly. Mm-hmm. And did we possibly see the start of something between Omos and Big E?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
That was weird.
Yeah.
How would that work? I mean, I don't want to be a dick, but when I think of Gonzalez, I think of the great Kali, and I think of Omos, I think of, you know, not the best matches that can come about of it. Not that it would be entertaining, but I'm not seeing something that would be amazing. And maybe I'm wrong for that, but that's just really what I'm looking
at. Is Omos training?
He better be. He had a fucking cut on his eye on Friday.
Apparently that he was one of the guys down there training extra.
So. Interesting. Yeah.
Unless he walked through a door and forgot he was too tall for the door and just hit his head. I mean, that looked pretty fresh. They had it on the plastic.
Yeah.
The stitches. So I assumed it must have happened very recent, probably that day, whenever they did Friday Night SmackDown.
Speaking of that, I would like to give a special shout out to Randy Orton's skincare advisor. That nasty burn all over his face cleared up completely for the show tonight. So yeah, good on you. Whoever your dermatologist is, yeah, we need to know. The world needs to know.
Well, you gotta remember, Alexa Bliss is part of the Fiend's all magical power. So when he gave her the RKO on Friday,
he released the curse. Mm-hmm.
He released the curse, and his face went back to normal.
Oh, Jesus.
I can just see it now. Randy Orton, RKO, the curse breaker.
All right. We have, for our last 10 minutes of talking about the show, let's jump over into the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, Sasha Banks and Carmella. What was your take on that particular match? Were you guys expecting anything more than what you saw?
No.
No, right. Okay.
Knew that was going to happen. I hope they put it to bed.
Would they have a better match if it was, again, Sasha versus Reginald for SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Borderline disrespect, and I don't disrespect Bay like that.
Oh.
It's not disrespect on her. It's disrespect on Carmella.
Right.
Not the match. By her and the whatever the dude is, Jamaican rum, whatever his name is. What's his name? Oh, he's French. My bad.
Yeah. Reginald, but he fucking hung with her in the ring, man. He gave a better match 2 weeks ago than fucking Carmella gave.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
Like, you know what really does suck, though? There's a part of me that wants Carmella to really be outside of the box of basic in the ring. I really, really do. Like, I like her, but I just kind of feel like she's just missing something. And I don't know if do y'all think it's in ring that's kind of missing? Maybe that next level, you know? Cause I really do feel like it's basic and it just sucks, but.
Yeah, it is. She's, let's put it this way. If after WrestleMania, when the cuts come, will Corey quit the company to still be with her? Because this is one of those things where, boy, they're either going to fucking push her to the moon because she's with Corey, or we just saw what they thought of Carmella after seeing her coming back with this type of character. Usually a push right before WrestleMania where you lose a major match like this in the Rumble could potentially mean that you're saying goodbye when the spring cleaning comes.
Mm.
Possibly. I doubt they do it, but
right.
I would, because I don't care for her in the ring right now. It's but there was one thing more that was more disturbing, and that was seeing Lana in a ring again.
She looked terrified, but did so much work amongst her terror. Her being terrified.
And she finally got her vengeance and eliminated Nia Jax.
Right.
Only to be stabbed in the back by Natalya.
Right.
It's like Mean Girls takes the stage yet again in the ring.
I can't wait to see that hot feud between Lana and Natalya.
Oh, yeah.
So deep.
Well, look, she had a lot on her mind because her... her husband is the best man on Wednesday's show. And I mean, there's a lot going on right now that she's got to think about.
Hey, man,
mess anybody up.
Dude, you know? If anything, things should be better for them. They have a butler now.
True.
I'm just saying.
True.
They, all right. I tell you what, if she keep messing up, she's going to be attending that wedding, her husband attending.
Hey man, it's the Bash of the Beach essentially. She could just show up, right?
Yeah,
on a beach.
Yeah. Last thing to talk about, during the pre-show, there was the women's tag team championship match. There was Charlotte and Asuka versus Nia Jax and Shayna. I got a question. Y'all watched that match, right? Y'all watched the pre-match. Is it me or does Shayna just seem like she's either made to dumb down her skills? against Charlotte. I looked at that like, what the fuck's going on? It just looked horrible. She looked,
yep.
We know she can wrestle better than that. And she was just like,
yep.
Why? Why? That's not even cool.
But I'll go back to what Michael said. How Michael said that it would be better if once Becky and, you know, if all the four horsewomen put them on one show. These are some of the reasons why. And I've seen this on many occasions, even like with Sasha sometimes, and especially with Bayley. Sometimes, well, not recently. Sometimes they have to dummy themselves down because of the product, especially when it comes to Charlotte. Like, I would not want to be in a match unless I know I'm Asuka, or unless I know I'm like Sasha or Bayley or Becky. There's certain people that have to like kind of dummy it down because it'll make her look bad.
Yeah, and I think one of the things you got to keep in mind too was you had a finish that you had to make Shayna and Nia look weaker in the match for the deception to play to its full potential.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're fucking beating their asses, they're hanging in punch for punch, sure. Then why did the cheat need to happen?
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and it also was not of their own, you know, it wasn't like it was the heels trying to cheat to win.
Right.
It was someone who was not associated with them who came out to, you know, right. Surprise vengeance. So,
yeah.
Now, I agree with you, though.
It just looked bad. It was just like, I guess.
You know what? Let me ask you all this question because I thought about it intensely for the Men's Royal Rumble. When you saw Mustafa Ali come out, how many of y'all were praying that none of the other members of Retribution would take up spots on the Royal Rumble?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, please let him
be. Yeah, I was hoping that he was the only one.
I'm actually kind of surprised he was used to, like, I don't know, like, has, like, Mia's COVID, like, how, you know, you had Mustafa is directly, you know, they've been around each other on fucking camera, so, although they are forced to wear masks, and Ali's not, so.
I didn't even think about that.
The real reason why they should be wearing masks at all times, there you go.
Yeah, until we just said it now, I really didn't think of that either. And it's wow. Like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Can I ask a question, though, real quick? Did anybody notice it? And I'm sorry, I'm jumping over to Raw. But when Shelton Benjamin was wearing a mask when he walked out with the Hurt Business, you notice he was still wearing his mask? Anybody remember that on Raw?
Yeah, he does. He came out with a mask on, and then he just took it off as if maybe he forgot or something. It was weird, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just wondering. Did it have anything to do with people testing positive for COVID? Just curious. Or he just forgot. Because I've done that. My mask and I forget it's on. So
he just probably forgot.
Yeah.
You know.
But, just like the booking committee forgot that there's three other people in the Hurt Business and none of them were in the match.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right.
There you go. That faction is just fucking hitting it on all cylinders.
Yeah, noticed that too.
But overall, to sum everything up, you guys would definitely say this is one of the better Royal Rumbles you've seen than for a while. Would you say that or not say that? I would say that. But what would you guys say?
Yeah, I would say that it definitely exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
I went into this show, obviously, you know, not really looking for anything great, yeah. But I was thoroughly entertained the entire time. So I can't be upset about it whatsoever. Solid thumbs up for me.
All right. And I'm guessing the other two feel the same.
No, I would say really was good. I mean, one of the best pay-per-views I've seen out of WWE in like 4 years, honestly. I give it out of 10, I give it a 9. I never give nothing a 10, but I would have gave it a 9.5, but I felt like some of the men's, you know, the Men's Royal Rumble was a little watered down, just a little bit. That's just my opinion, but, you know, 9.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff, guys. That's the Royal Rumble, and good stuff. Worth watching it again you get some time just to go over and check out some of the highlights. The commentary was really good too. Just enjoying listening to Corey. Corey just be on fire, man. He's definitely one of the great commentaries to have there. So good stuff by them. We're going to talk about a little bit of other wrestling shows that happened during the week. I'll start off just with Impact. Nothing major really happened. Willie Mack made his return onto the show, which was great to see. Bay looked like he had on a new shirt. Looked like he had a new shirt that he on. It looked nice. It just got, it's pretty much got Bay in white writing, almost kind of written all over it. And then in red, it's got the big Bay letters on there, you know, so pretty cool. He doesn't, I think that's the first time I've seen him wear anything of his. Normally he comes in that crop top leather jacket that he performs in. So, you know, if you definitely are a supporter of Bay, Vegas' own, support that, get that shirt. So it's a good look and to help, you know, build his character overall. But who showed up? The main guy who's back in Impact Wrestling after we thought maybe he was going to show up elsewhere, Trey Miguel. Was back on Impact Wrestling, and he looked a little different too. Had his little gold hair that he went to, and looked a little bit built too. So he looked like he was glad to be back, and he had a match. It was a 4-on-4 match that they had. So outside of that, not too much more was happening on Impact. Of course, they were still running a lot of the storylines, but that was sort of the big news. So shout out to see Willie and Trey back into the show. NXT, what was going on that show this past week, Simon Street?
Well, NXT was a good show, super exciting. You know, continuing with the Dusty Cup for both the women's and the men's. One match that I really, really enjoyed, and again, I'm just really enjoying is, you know, MSK. You know, they went up against Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. And you know what, I will say this, reason why I liked this matchup is, you know, MSK is awesome, innovative. I'm not going to go into deep with them, but we already know that. I actually started seeing more of the cohesion unit of Killian Dane and Damian Drake. Like I like them around. I, you know, even though
I hope that Damian Drake's pocketbook feels the same way.
My bad. Wrong Damian Drake. I meant to say Killian Dane and Drake. I would love to see your boy up there. He's going to be up there one day. Shouts out to Damian Drake, real talk. But Killian Dane, oh, and side note too, your boy Damian Drake did have a birthday, so that's why he was on my mind. So that's the point. Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. I'm starting to see their cohesion as a team, and it's really awesome. I like how they're doing moves and stuff like that. So it was cool to kind of see that match. Of course, we know the result of that one. And then another thing that was pretty interesting that I wanted to kind of point out with the other match that we saw, which was Kushida, Leon Ruff versus, they call themselves now short term GYV, which sounds like some kind of venereal disease, but it is Grizzled Veterans. I wish they didn't shorten their name because I like seeing Grizzled Young Veterans. That was a really good match as well. People that shined in that one, I think, was Leon Ruff, really did shine a little bit in that match. And you know, of course, Grizzled Young Vets moving on. The tournament's heating up, excited. You know, we had some other matches. I really did like, the whole segment where Toni Storm came out and, you know, was talking about she wants to gun for Io Shirai. And then, you know, Io Shirai pops out with that music, that boom, 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 boom. I was just like getting hyped and everything. And then, you know, they kind of going at it. And then Mercedes Martinez, which makes me believe that that might be the title picture, a three-way at some point, I believe. Which would I be cool with any one of those women. And that's pretty much was, NXT for the most part. I know I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but once again, I just think consistent show was fun all around. And I'm just looking forward to, you know.
Have made Michaels confused, Simon Street.
How have I done that? I always make him confused.
I thought the upcoming match aren't they doing it on February 14th on Valentine's Day? They're doing like a takeover. I thought that was the match.
I mean, it could be. I mean, there is supposed to be one coming up. I was just talking about what was on NXT on the show. So maybe I must have missed something on the taping I was watching.
I don't know. I thought that that match was actually set between the three of them, but
it could be.
But overall, good stuff.
We need to look it up.
I got a quick question for you guys. Chris had asked this. Speaking of possible Mania match suitors for Daniel Bryan at Mania, what about Balor for the NXT title, or would they not want NXT showcased at Mania?
I don't know. Do you run Daniel Bryan on that, Steve?
I would like that, but ultimately, I mean, NXT is going to have their own show. Yeah. I would like to see an NXT match on Mania, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're just going to allow them to have their own stage. Still in WrestleMania week, but not on the main show itself.
Yeah, but didn't they run? Wasn't Charlotte the? Didn't she win the NXT championship from Rhea?
Yeah, that was on WrestleMania,
right? Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility they could possibly run, since Finn is an established, you know, star. Maybe they would give him a Mania match just because the payday might be a little better. But also, are they going to be able to run, if they're running Mania two nights, are they going to do like a takeover or something that weekend? And like, how extravagant will that be, since they're going to be dealing with, you know, fans and everything for the first time coming into a big stadium? It's interesting. I haven't heard any rumblings about what they're actually going to do with them.
You know, it might be a smart thing to kind of do that for the future. Just have the NXT men and women's be on WrestleMania, so that way TakeOver can be a bigger show, and then you still have the North American NXT Championship kind of head off that show.
I mean, as long as WrestleMania stays like a fucking 9-day event as they're doing it. So, it's a good question.
They haven't even sold tickets for Mania yet, have they? I don't think they went on sale yet.
I don't know. I think King Lucky has 5 pair already and 6 hotel rooms booked. So just in case, like, you know, this way,
right,
has everything covered.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, if I ever got to go to Florida, I'm waiting until I get my second series vaccine, because I'm just letting you know, I ain't going down there.
Yeah. Cool. So that was it for NXT, right? All right. Yeah. Let's jump over then to
Y'all the ones told me you got to make it quick, so I did.
All right. AEW, man, what's going on over there?
All right, man. So obviously the main event of this show was the Dark Order versus the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers. I mean, obviously the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers, we know. Fuck off, Michaels. We know what they can do. I really think that this match, while the Bucks and the Brothers did win, it was a good showcase for members of the Dark Order. I think that, you know, they got a lot of great offense in on this match, and, you know, just really good storytelling throughout the match. I liked it, but the thing that I liked even more than that was the Dax Harwood and Jungle Boy match. This was a great match. And Michaels, Is that mocking, or are you agreeing that it was a good one?
No, I'm agreeing. I think that the main event was horseshit. They should have put Jungle Boy and Harwood last. I think that I've felt this about Jack for fucking years. The kid is a fucking superstar.
Oh yeah,
there's no doubt. So working with a guy like Harwood was perfect. And boy, you got to be. It's really fucking hard to be in a company that has a match like that, and then now you're supposed to go out and be the main event.
Right.
That's tough, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this match was just extremely well done. The gimmick of the match is that Luchasaurus was handcuffed to Cash and to Tully, and It was fun for what it was, and then it culminated. Gentlemen, we had a dehorning.
Right.
What yeah. the fuck? They cut his fucking horns off. What?
Yeah.
And you know what was so funny too? It seemed like JR was so much more concerned about the fact that they might cut off Jungle Boy's hair.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. So good stuff there. That was the best show. They're the best match on the show far and away from me. And I mean, other than that, you know, we had the Cody Rhodes response to Shaq. So evidently we're going to be getting a Cody and Red Velvet against Jade and Shaq match at Revolution. Oh Lord.
Is it at Sturgis or is it on the beach this year?
Jesus, man. It's unreal. Oh well, it is what it is, man. Yeah, it was a good show. I was entertained, but it wasn't anything blow away. So
I like the John Moxley promo video, because to me it kind of sum up exactly what I was just thinking. You know, it's like I think he used the term, it's like a Young and the Restless soap opera. It's just so much, even it was just so much going on. I'm still going, yeah, it is so confusing.
Mox is probably the best, one of the best promos in the business when yeah. they let him actually just do his thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. This week was definitely evidence of that.
Absolutely. Well, cool, man. That is your...
And I'm sorry. I just, as that was all said, then all of a sudden I just flashed in my mind to Don Callis with a huge fucking bandage over his face. Which was, I mean, that was wonderful to see that, you know, that played up so much. But boy, Matt and Nick are such bad actors, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Don Callis needs to reach out to freaking Randy Orton's dermatologist, because he'll get that shit cleared right the fuck up.
Right, man. Good stuff, guys. And of course we can't wait to see what happens this coming Wednesday at the beach, which should be exciting to see what takes place. With ROH this week, two matches took place. Under pure rules, there was Flip Gorton versus Rhett Titus. And Flip Gorton, he won that. And there was also a TV championship match with Ray Horace versus the TV champion Dragon Lee. That also was a great match. And Dragon Lee retained that championship. So, again, not going to go deep into it. Ring of Honor, as I always say, is just really great. Two matches you get for an hour, and they're putting on some of the best stuff that you can see. If you're able to find it, record it, DVR, it's exciting to watch these guys do what they do. And, you know, and that's that. So that's a ROH for this past week. With New Japan, oh man, Sin City. Speaking of Moxley, huh?
Mm-hmm.
There was a confrontation confronting Kenta.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you tell us a little bit about what we can expect with that.
Well, it's just setting the stage for the new beginning, man. Moxley is going to be defending his IWGP US Heavyweight Championship against Kenta. Mm-hmm. And yeah, these guys are both motivated to make this a great match. And, you know, we already just talked about how Moxley, when they let him do his thing, is one of the best in the business.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people are going to realize, if they haven't already, that Kenta is pretty fucking good too. And that, you know, his time away from WWE has done him extremely well. So these two guys are on a collision course, And I really want to see The New Beginning and see that match. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the U.S. version of New Japan, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good stuff there. I was reading up on that, and I didn't know that that Leo Rush was also a part of that New Japan kind of group. I know he was doing MLW, but I didn't know also he participated in. So, you know, guess
yeah, the New Japan Strong. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of really recognizable names in there. I mean, they've got Fred Rosser, Leo Rush, TJP.
TJP, yeah.
Yeah, so, they've got some really recognizable names. And if you're just a little bit, ill at ease with, anything that WWE's throwing at you, if you're not happy with the overly choreographed feel of AEW, give New Japan a try. They are a very, very, very solid show every single week. And it's definitely a different style than either of the other two alternatives.
Absolutely. Yeah, it looked like they're promoting shows on the on Friday. It looked like it's going to be one on the February 26th, on the 19th and the 26th. There will be New Japan Strong New Beginning USA episodes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. Something to put into your calendar to get a chance to take a look at. So, that's New Japan for you. And, I guess that takes care a lot of the wrestling talk for today. We got through it, fellas. A lot of wrestling that was happening. I guess that's it. with that, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to us or even watching us.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
You totally ignored 205 Live.
Uh-oh. I usually don't talk about 205, but what happened?
Well, you missed Zoe Stark, man.
Did I? Tell me about Zoe Stark.
Lacey Evans, or Lacey Ryan making her debut on WWE TV in the tag tournament.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, check it
out. I'll have to go back and watch that because I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Talk about a good showing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good stuff, man.
205. Okay. Lacey, another name from the Vegas area, Future Stars. So it just shows you that this promotional company out here is doing big things, man. They are putting wrestlers into these spots with major companies, and they're looking good. So shout out to Joe and the whole crew over there at Future Stars, and I definitely would give that a watch. I did hear the news that she has signed and went over. So I'm really interested to see how that match came about over at 205. All right. With that, thanks everybody for watching or listening. We got 3 Count coming up. If you're watching us, just stand by. We'll be back. If you're not watching us, this is going to play on Tuesday. So we thank all of you guys for that. Don't forget the Falco Files every Wednesday. It's always a different guest. We just talked about Future Stars of Wrestling. So this would be the time to check out what's being said. You may actually hear some of the new talent and stars that are actually working their way up to be a part of one of these promotions. So it's really good. Matt Michaels hosts with Joe DeFalco, and it's really good. Every Wednesday you can catch that. And you know what? These are not one of those shows that, if you miss one several weeks or several months ago that, it's not worth listening to. Nah, man, these are like timeless. Go back, start from the very first episode and there's 40 episodes. So there's different wrestlers on each one, and they all got a story that is worth listening to. So you get a chance, just start from one, make your way all the way up to 40. You will enjoy that series.
And you know what? Simon Street has said that if anyone out there can prove that they listen to all 40 episodes straight through from one all the way through 40,
yeah,
then Simon will get a tattoo of your name tattooed somewhere on his body.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Gonna go right by his Cody Rhodes tattoo.
That's admirable, man. Thank you. Thank you for stepping up and doing that.
Are you gonna put that on your neck?
Like no, I'm not. You know, no, I'm not doing that unless Matt Michaels agrees to get matching tattoos. But I want it to be on the top, right in your forehead, just right.
Oh man. Well, you never know. You never know. With that, you guys, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.